So if you have a Bible with you this morning, I'm going to be reading out of the Gospel of John, if you'd like to turn to John chapter 1. And as you hear the Gospel of John out of the four Gospels, that's the one Gospel you might think, well, wait a minute, there's no Christmas narrative in that Gospel. But actually, the main Christmas narrative is actually in that Gospel. And so before getting into our text this morning, I want to share a prophecy with you that was given 800 years before Christ showed up on the scene from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6, and pay attention to this verse. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." Now listen to his name. "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." For many Christians, you know, we think of Christmas time as a baby in a manger. And of course, that's correct, but the birth of Christ was this miracle and this special event, but it's such a central truth to Christianity, but that baby did not stay in that manger that day. Christmas, for Christ followers, should be a time that we marvel at the very miracle that the God of heaven would choose to get off of his throne in glory and come down and visit us as a real human child, flesh and blood, God in a tent. Christmas is really about remembering God's redemptive plan for us sinners. And for everyone who would receive him by faith, they are promised eternal life. So what I want to do this morning really quickly, I'm going to keep the message fairly short, especially for me anyway, is I want to tell you about some eyewitnesses that were there that day, because eyewitness accounts are always the best. So if your Bibles are open, this is John 1:1, and it's probably a pretty familiar passage. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Then if you skip on down to verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him," and catch this, "and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But," my favorite word in all of Scripture, "but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." So let's start out here because, you know, so many people would say, "I believe in God." And I oftentimes ask, well, what's your God's name? God right here in verse 1 is the Greek word theos. And if you look in a Strong's Concordance or Greek lexicon, the word stands for the triune Godhead, God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the Trinity, and the Word was God, right? God the Son appeared to humankind, to the human creatures he had made, which is known as the incarnation. God himself took on human flesh. Now, this same Apostle John later wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John near the end of your Bibles, and he talks about some eyewitness accounts of this incredible event that happened there that day that we just sang all these songs about. This is what 1 John 1:1 says. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we handled with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us." So 1 John says, with our ears, with our own ears, not someone else telling us about it, with our ears, we heard, We heard the voice of Jesus Christ teaching with such authority. We heard it ourselves. We heard him tell how he was going to forgive sins. We heard him tell how we could have eternal life through him. We heard this. We heard his words. And besides John, there were 500 other witnesses who saw the risen Christ after he was crucified, buried, and rose from the grave. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:6 says, there were 500 other believers who saw the risen Christ. You know, in our day and age, and since the beginning of time, people have longed to hear the voice of God. People just long, God, if you would just speak to me. God, I long to hear your voice. And John said, we heard it. We heard it with our own ears. And then he said, with our own eyes, we looked upon him. Again, no one had to tell us. We got to see it for ourselves. We got to see all the miracles. We got to see everything. Then we got to see him arrested. We got to see him crucified and put in a cave. And then we got to see him rise again. And then he says, with our own hands, we touched him. We touched him. This reminds me of Doubting Thomas. I love the story of Doubting Thomas, right? The other disciples had seen the risen Christ. And Thomas, I love him. He says, unless I put my finger in his hands, unless I put my finger in the hole in his side, I won't believe. In John 20:27, Jesus said to Thomas, hey, reach your finger here and put it in my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. And so John's saying, look, I stared into his eyes myself. No one had to tell me. I have firsthand knowledge. And so John's whole point here is God the Son came. I got to put my hands on him. I got to see him. I got to hear him. That which was from the beginning. Notice he says that. You see, we're stuck in time and space continuum, so we don't understand what kind of creature doesn't have a beginning. We don't understand that, but John is saying, listen, God, our God, transcends time. And Jesus became flesh, and he did these things, and he said these things, and we're proclaiming it to you. And so the question is, why? Yeah, we would all say because it's Sunday and we're in church, he did it to forgive us of our sins. Absolutely. But he did it for another reason. He wanted fellowship with us. He wanted fellowship. You see, this unknowable God all of a sudden became knowable. And he broke out of heaven and came down as a baby to grow up as a man so that he could take the cross so that we could have forgiveness of sin and fellowship. What an invitation. What an invitation for us. And so then it goes on further. And this verse right here ought to just knock your socks off. And you probably all heard it 100 times before. But John 1:14 says this. And that word, remember verse 1, right? The word was with God and the word was God. Verse 14. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about this. He dwelt among us. The pre-existing God dressed himself in human flesh. Ed Hinson said this, every religion in the world except for Christianity says that we must work our way to God. Only Christianity says God worked his way to us. See the difference? The eternal word took on flesh and made his dwelling place among his creation. The word dwelt there is the same word we find in Exodus. It means to tabernacle among us, to tabernacle. Maybe you remember the story back in Exodus that God told the Israelites, go build a tabernacle out there in the desert, and I'm going to come and I'm going to visit you in that tent of meeting right there. Well, that was then. When God the Son shows up, Now he says, I am going to dwell with you right now in human flesh. Every part of the tabernacle out there in the desert, every part of it from the way in to the wood, every part of it was a picture of Jesus Christ. And it was pointing us forward to tell us there's coming a time when I'm going to be that tabernacle right there among you. It's the same word. The word became flesh and he tabernacled in a tent, in a temporary holding place right here among us. Let me ask you a question. So I've had company since Thursday, different sets of family, Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then again today. And, you know, every day, as soon as the company leaves, right, I break out the vacuums, right, get the trash bags, pick everything up, make it like we don't live there, right? Next set of people, right? What if you knew today, right now today, what if I were to tell you that God the Son was coming to visit you? He's coming over your house. I'm sure the building would empty. Everyone would break the law, you know, speed records, getting home. What are you hiding? What are you putting away so Jesus can't see? What's getting special attention? I know those areas of my house that Sandra always says, did you clean the toilet in the guest bathroom, right? We got people coming over. So I wonder, what would you take care of? See, here's the thing. God wants to dwell with you. And by the way, he already knows about that stuff. So don't even worry about going home and cleaning it. He knows. Joan Osborne wrote a song. It's entitled, What If God Were One of Us? And this is the question she asked. If God had a name, what would it be? And if you could call it to his face, if you faced him in all his glory, would you? So if God were one of us, what would his name be? We know the answer. It's Jesus. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus became one of us in a human tent. And then John says, and we beheld his glory. This is the Shekinah glory of God that we talked about last week. We beheld that great light. We beheld that Shekinah glory, that brilliance, that excellence, that magnificence, that Shekinah glory of God. John got to see it. You see, trusting in Jesus is not about a doctrine. It's about a relationship. And John says, we got to behold that glory and have that relationship. And then, you know, later, when Jesus again is talking to Thomas and he's telling him, you know, come here and put your finger here and put your finger here and do all that. And then after he says, be believing, not unbelieving, he says something else. And it's really unique. He says, blessed are you because you've seen and now you believe. But more blessed are those who are going to believe who have not seen. In other words, faith, right? It takes faith to please God. And so God wanted to come with us, come to us, and God wanted to live like us to make a way for us then to live with him. And so here's the truth for Christmas this morning as I wrap up. Just as God dwelt with them as a baby and grew up as a man, God wants to dwell with you this morning. God wants to spend eternity with you. Jesus desires a real life, personal relationship with you this morning. Not some distant, cold deity that we hear about. Not your grandmother's God. This is your personal Savior. And he wants to dwell with you this morning. The reason why Christmas should be such great joy, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's broken, no matter what has happened, Christmas should be a time of joy because it celebrates the truth that we were all lost in our sins and trespasses. We were all going to have to pay for our own sins. And yet Jesus dwelt among us and paid that price. God sent his son into the world to give us great joy. The invitation now is for each one of us to accept that free gift. And that'd be the best Christmas you'll ever have, I guarantee it. So that verse I started with out of Isaiah, listen to it again. 800 years before Jesus shows up on the scene, the prophet Isaiah is given this word from God, and he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And here's his name. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. There's the meaning to Christmas. God himself, a member of the triune Godhead, came down as a baby, grew up. But that's not the whole story, right? The rest of the story is what we're about to celebrate together in just a minute. Christmas is the celebration of his birth, but he was born for a purpose. We celebrate Easter too. And the celebration of Easter is that that baby grew up to be a man, took our sin upon him on the cross, was tortured, died for us, but on the third day rose again to prove who he was. That's the good news. And so this morning what we're going to do is we're going to get up. There's four tables around. There'll be some men and women that are serve you. And we're going to take communion. And then you're going to grab a candle. And we're going to just put people across the chapel this morning. And we're going to sing Silent Night together in the celebration of what we celebrate every year. But as you're taking that communion, don't do this as a ritual. Think about what we're doing here. Yes, we're celebrating Christmas. And isn't it a great time to do that? But as we take communion, what we're celebrating is actually the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We remember the bread stands for his broken body that he took for us. And the juice stands for his blood that was shed, that if we would accept by faith what he did, we could have eternal life with the King of Kings.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you are blessed. If you'd like to find out more info about our church or any other resources like sermon notes or things like that, you can check out our website at livingfaithklamath.com. Make sure if you haven't already to subscribe or like us on whatever your favorite podcast app is. You'll find us at Living Faith Fellowship, Klamath Falls. Again, be blessed.